you make the bracha after the tefillah. And this is the psak of the Ramah. Why? This doesn't seem to follow the normal rules of Ovel Asiyasan. So I think there are four reasons given for the psak of the Behag. The Ri says it's agav tefillas ger, which is an interesting thing. Clearly a ger must make the bracha after tefillah. They can't make the bracha before. They're not yet Jewish. Now, even though obviously, presumably, the vast majority of tevilos are not tevilos of gerus, the Ri says this anyway. We say that the regular tevilos are agav the ger tevilos. The Ri himself doesn't think that this is the correct shot. This is just his yishuv for the behag. But look over the logic of the Ri's position, or the behag's position, is that we need one rule for brachos. And since for Gerus, there's no other possibility. Memela, we have no choice but to say that for Tevilas Nashim from Nida, you have to do the same thing. In other words, of course, maybe 95% of Tevilos might be ones in which you could make the bracha beforehand, but we need a single rule, and therefore, in this case, that's the only option. Rashi gives a different reason. He says, because of tefilas keri upoleta shechva zera, as well, she'en lahan levarich. Now, it's interesting, because if you said that was the reason, and maybe bizman hazeh, you should make the bracha beforehand, because we make brachos even when we're bal keri. And presumably, Rashi might say that, yeah, but kach tiknu, and therefore in lashanos. In other words, since for many tvilos, when they were misakein the bracha, so Takanas Ezra was relevant, and therefore they couldn't have made the bracha beforehand. And that was the takana of the bracha, and we continue to do so. The third reason is the Yesh Omrim and Tosvos, that we're concerned she won't be tovelas, right? Maybe it's very cold. Now, you know, imagine, when you're going down into the swimming pool and it's cold, right? So, you know, you start going in a little bit, and then, you know, half the time you decide, forget it, it's not worth it. So just imagine tefillah. If we made the bracha beforehand, she might chicken out, understandably. Now this is a nice shot in the Gemara, except it doesn't really fit with the Lashon of the Gemara, because the Gemara says that the problem is lo chazian, right? Not that this practical point, which is she might turn around. It sounds like there's some type of me'akev lahalacha. And finally, the fourth explanation given for the Behag is found in the Sefer Tosefta Atikta, which argues that this relates to the position in Rishonim, which we saw a while back, that someone who's a Nida can't make brachos, right? We saw, could you make a Sefer Torah? Some held that you can't even make brachos, right? The Mishnah Berurah was very opposed to that view. We certainly don't paskin that way, but maybe the pshat in, and you see talking in the base Medrash of Rashi, that idea might exist, the pshat that the Nida makes the bracha afterwards is because she couldn't make the bracha beforehand. Now, obviously, if that's the pshat, we wouldn't practice that nowadays, so that's clearly not what we're holding. Okay, so that's the view of the Rive, of the Behag. But the Rive disagrees. She says, no, she should make the bracha beforehand. When should she make the bracha? Kodim shetifshot chaluka. And if she didn't make the bracha then she should go up to her neck in the water and make the bracha. And if the water are tzlulim, ochartan beragleha. And that would solve the problem. And that's the psak of the Mechaber. Now, it's sort of interesting, actually, that you have this option of ochartan beragleha, and still he says, ideally, you make the bracha while she's still in her chaluka. Usually, we would say we want to make it memait, the hefsik, between the bracha and the tefillah, maybe because ochartan beraglan isn't as good. Now, either way, the Ran points out, even if you hold of this ravid, you still use the lashon of al and not le, because it feels gerim. In other words, everybody holds that agav feels gerim that has an effect. According to the Ravid, it only affects the nusach of the bracha, and according to the Behag, it even affects when you make the bracha. Now, that's what we have in the tour. So the Drisha on the tour has an objection to the common practice. apparently, the common practice was that women would do the tefillah. After the tefillah, they would make the bracha. Even though they were naked, and even though the mayim was tzluin, they would still make the bracha. And he says this is wrong. And even if they were to be mechabkos atman, you know, to go like this, still that wouldn't work. Why? Because that only helps because of the halach of libo roes ha'erva. And first of all, according to Orchos Chaim, anyway, there's no issue of libo roes ha'erva for women because their makom erva is lamata. And besides which, that's not the problem. What's the problem? The preacher says there's a general rule. Mishum kavod shechina, you're not allowed to make a bracha while aruma. So it doesn't matter if she's mechabkos atzma. Lamaisa, she's still aruma. And therefore, what women do is inappropriate. So the Shach and the Taz both over here defend the practice. It's very nice that you sort of finish off Hilchos Nida with Shalom. Shach and the Taz more or less saying the exact same thing. Right after all these machlokos throughout, they finish off on the same point. And basically, the idea that they both say is the following. There's two halachos, two separate halachos. One is the din of libo roes ha'erva, and the second is the din of lo yirah b'cha ervas dafar. So what are these two halachos? In terms of the halacha of libo roes ha'erva, that basically means that your lev and your erva can't be in the same rishos. There's a machlokas, actually, Rishonim, whether we even paskin that there's a problem of libo roes ha'erva, right? Let's say a man is wearing a long robe without a belt, nothing else. So that would be an issue of libo roes ha'erva. He's totally dressed, but his lave and his erva are in the same area. There's no separation between them. There's a machlokas Rishonim, but we're machmer and Shiloh. We assume that you can't make a bracha when libo roes ha'erva. In other words, your lave, your erva, they can see each other. The lave could see the erva. If the lave could see the erva, then you can't make a bracha. That's the way we paskin. Now, again, as we mentioned, according to the Orchos Chaim, that doesn't apply for women. It only applies for men. For very simple physiology, that the lave could see the erva of men, because they're on the same side of their body, and women whose ervasan is below, so there is no concept of liberos erva. So that concept doesn't exist at all if you learn like the Orchos Chaim. Now, obviously, the Ravid, who said before that if she didn't make the bracha before she goes into the water, she should make the bracha after she goes into the water, and ochartan biragleha. So he's assuming that we don't assume, disagrees with the Orchos Chaim, that even for women there's a problem of libo roes ha'erva. So this is a machlokas, and that's why the Ravid says ochartan biragleha, right? Why? I lemaisa, the Orchos Chaim is right. It's in a different rishus. No, mishum sh'agapeha megulos, like Rashi says in Sota, and therefore it's still possible somewhat for the lave of a woman to be roes ervasa. So therefore, just like for men we say there's a problem of libo roes erva according to the Ravid, so too for women, unlike the Orchos Chaim. Now, in terms of the problem of overcoming the problem of libo roes erva, so we have a couple of options. One option is l'chabek atzma, because then when you're mechabek as atzma, so you're making a separation between your lave and your erva. That's one solution. Another solution is to go out of the mikvah to the point where your heart isn't in the mikvah, because then the water will serve as a separation between your lave and your erva. Now, how do we paskin? So the Taz says, Mekar Adin, there's no need for any of this. In other words, either to go out of the mikvah partially or to be mechabek as atzma. Because really, we paskin like the Orchos Chaim. But L'yasar says, we may as well be machmir. Since L'maisa, the Ravid's machmir, so since it's easy to be machmir, we're machmir. Though Mekar Adin, you don't need to do it at all. And there's somewhat of a stira, it seems, in terms of the psak of the Mechaber and the Ramah. Why? In Or Chaim, right, which is Hilchos Kriyas Shema, Siman Ayin Dalet, Siv Beis, the Mechaber quotes the Orchos Chaim as a Yesh Omrim. Now, that sounds like he holds that way, right? He writes over there, V'mein libo b'sol hamayim, rak l'mala min hamayim af b'tzulun shari. But he's taking for granted seemingly like the Orchos Chaim. But over here, he's so same like the Ravid. Right? Sorry, the quote that I said from the Mechaber was the wrong quote. Harochitz arm b'mayim tzlulim v'rotze lishtos. Imagine that. Oh, drinking some mikveh water. Yechasa b'bagad mimata l'libo k'dei shelo yeh libo rawa es ha'erva k'shivarich v'dafka b'bagad aval b'yadayim lo mahani lo avikisui. Right, just like we say, your hands don't work for a yarmulke. V'hu adin im mechasa rosha b'yadav lo mikri kisui arosh v'ayin l'kaman. V'im hayu hamayim achurim, ein she'enei varav nirin bahen motor lekros, v'hu b'tochan, v'hu shelo yehei reichan ra, v'im ein libo b'soch hamayim, rak l'mal hamayim afgu, sorry, im adam mechabe gufo b'zraosav, daininan leke hafsaka, ah, yesh mi sha'omer, sha'af b'nashim, yechol s'levarich l'espalel, k'she'en levush, right? So, the point is that the, at least as a yesh omrim, and he doesn't bring Cholkim, the Mechaber Paskins, like the Orchos Chaim, that there's no din of Libo Asa Erva. That's what he Paskins in Orchos Chaim. Over here, what is the Mechaber quote? He quotes the Ravid, and the Ravid, as we noted, holds that there is a problem for women. So the Taz says there's a stira in the Mechaber. So what's the pshat? So the Taz, the Shach answers, no, it's not really a stira, because he writes in Orchos Chaim only B'Torah Yesh Omrim. In other words, sounds like he is Machmir Mirkar Adin, like he says in Yoredeya, right? Yoredeya, he doesn't quote it as a Yesh Omrim. Yesh Omrim should tzarech to be Macher the Mayim. He just quotes it Stam. So the Shach says, you see, that the Mechaber really holds like the Ravid against the Orchos Chaim. In Orchos Chaim, he quotes it as a Yesh Omrim. This is a difficulty we already encountered a couple of times. It's hard to sometimes know when a Mechaber quotes something as a Yesh Omrim without quoting Cholkim. Does that mean that he's just telling you there is such a Shita that way, but I don't necessarily hold it? Or is he telling you this Shita, and he quotes it as a Yesh Omrim because nobody else says it, but that's his view, because if he disagreed, he would have quoted Cholkim. We had that with, by the Trumas Hadeshin and some other cases. So at least the way the Shach reads it is, now, I don't know if you would know that from Orchos Chaim on its own, or only because otherwise there's a stira between Orchos Chaim and Yoredeya. But the conclusion of the Shach is that Orchos Chaim is just quoting Yesh Omrim, but the strict halach is what he says in Yoredeya. The Ramaz Psak is also somewhat unclear. He definitely holds that by Mayim Tzlulim there's no Chisaron of Gilui Erva, but it's not clear if he's Choshish for the Ravid Legabe Nashim for Libo Rosa Erva, right? On the one hand, he brings this Minag L'chasos Atzma Bivagadeha, which sounds like, because we assume like the Ravid, which is also interesting. You know, why you even need a kisui in the first place if just leaving the mikveh halfway would be enough. So it's not so clear what the Ramah holds either. Okay, all that is the first issue, right? The first issue of Libo Ros Erba. Then there's the second issue. What's that? The din of Lo Yeraba B'cha Erbas Davar. Taz on our simon points out that's a din d'orais, it's a drasha gemura, and that's the halacha that ein levarich b'maklom erva. Right? Now that has nothing to do with libos erva. If this is a maklom erva, so then you can't make a bracha. So, what does that mean in terms of tefillah? So that's not shayach in the water, the Taz and the Shach explain. And even if the water is tzalul, because it's true, if the water is tzalul, if you're mechaven to look, you'll be able to see the erva. But still, since without miskaven, you won't see it, even clear water sort of clouds what's below it, or you're not going to notice it, you're not going to see it, it's in two different rishios, however you explain it, that having the erva in the water solves the problem of gili erva. Right? Why? Ein of chutz lamayim and mistakel b'chutz ve'oino ro'as erva. Right, the din of gili erva is sort of like, you know, first we talked about libo ro'as erva, that's the, and now we're talking about enayim ro'as erva. So that din of l'erbacha erva stavar is not shayach over here, so therefore, mikra din, even the woman could certainly make the bracha in the mikvah, right? Why? There's no problem of l'erbacha erva stavar, because she's in the water. her eruv is in the water and her eyes are outside of the water. And there's no problem of liboros ha'erva, either because she's mechabekes atzma, or she's going to make the water cloudy, or because we paskin like the Orchos Chaim, which is the Ikaradin, that the problem of liboros ha'erva doesn't even exist at all in women. So Lamaisa, what should you do? So Lamaisa, we would tell the woman she shouldn't look at the water when making the bracha, so she's not looking at her erva, and she should fold her arms across her body, and that way you'll have to arrive it like we saw Liesser says. So that's what she should do. She comes out of the water, but her erva remains in the water. She should be mechabekes atzma and make the bracha. That's certainly what Ashkenazim should do. In terms of Sfardios, so what do? So they make the bracha before they go to the mikvah. So when they're still in their bathrobe, they should make the bracha, like the Ravid says, like the Mechaber says. Somebody told me that in Eretz Yisrael, they give bathrobes at the mikvah with a hood on it. Why? Kisui Seyar, right? Like Rav Avadia says that women should also be makbid about Kisui Seyar, certainly for brachos, even by penuyos. Okay? We don't do that. We're not Sephardim anyway. But I don't think too many Sephardi penuyos are makbid on Kisui Seyar that I've seen. One way or the other. So that's why if they have a mikvah with a hood, you'll know why that's there. Okay. The Dogma Rivava quotes the Shla, Litvol v'levarech v'litvol. That's what the Shla says. So why would you do that? So the Pshat is, says the Dogma Rivava, that you do the Tefillah and you make a Tanai. If the Pshat is you're supposed to make the Bracha after the Tefillah, so then the first Tefillah is the valid Tefillah. And if the pshat is that you're supposed to make the bracha before the tefillah, so the first tefillah is nothing, and then you make the bracha, and then you tovelis again, that's the pshat nishla. So the Gemara Rava says, what are you talking about? Tefillah doesn't need kavana. We talked about that in the last siman. So you can't start making tanayim in your tefillah. There's no such thing as like saying, I'm going to be tovelis, but I don't want it to be effective. And then making a tanay. But maybe it's like, since the Rama said, l'chatchila, you need kavana, so maybe you could make it tonight. I don't know. The Shla said, the Dogma Vav says, that doesn't make any sense. The Rambam says, it's meguna litvol pamayim. Why? It's me to say, okay, can't hurt. The Shla said it. But the Dogma Vav says, the Rambam says, it's meguna. Why is it meguna? Because people think that the first tefillah doesn't work. But he concludes, mikol makom ho v'tziya davar mepigon yeshlachosh ledvarav. So even though the Dogma Rivava thinks that the Shlaz Eitzes, that means we're out of time? Okay, we'll do it very quickly. Some communities have the custom that they immerse three times. Why? Because it says three times in the Torah that Tahara. That's a Sefer Hasidim. Some say seven, some say nine. The minhag is two. Unless you don't fully go underwater, then you have to make sure that you're fully underwater. We really only have to do it too. There's a discussion, which I guess we're not going to do now. We'll have to put it in some other place, because now we're going to be finished. But a very important discussion of making a bracha on tevila when you're being toveles, either misafek or mitzad minag or the like. When do you make a bracha on tevila under those circumstances and when you don't? Maybe we'll push it off to discuss it in another place, because it comes up. It's shaykh to some other simanim in the Shulchan Aruch, so we'll talk about it then. It's an important thing to note. It's a very important question to think about, which we can't discuss now. Is like, let's say you're being you're going to the mikvah mitzat safek. Usually you would say safek brachos lahakel, right? But some folks gonna say, one second, you're gonna tell a woman to go to the mikvah without making a bracha, she's gonna think she doesn't really have to go to the mikvah in the first place. So that's a big discussion over here, but we're gonna discuss it over there as soon as I figure out where over there is. Okay, everyone should have a Freilichim Purim.